Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, also a pastor out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Bill Jack with me today from Worldview Academy. And friends, we are facing some of the most remarkable times in the history of this country. Certainly the most remarkable times in my lifetime. Maybe not Bill's lifetime. He's been around longer than I have.
Yeah, I saw the 1918 Spanish flu and influenza.
I think you lived through that, didn't you?
Yeah, just barely. Uh-huh. Just barely. I'm just kind of limping along right now.
Yeah. Well, it's good to have Bill Jack back with us, friends. And God is humbling this nation, Bill. I think we can say that. The proud 2019s turned into the humbled 2020s. And
in some cases. And, you know, there's the hope that this turns people back to God. And it forces them to their knees.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's some very creative things that are happening with churches having drive-in kind of services, you know, in their parking lots. And I understand that some towns are doing front porch celebrations where at a specified time on Sunday morning, especially this coming Easter Sunday morning, that what's going to happen is they're going to step out to their porch, tune into a particular radio station. They're going to sing hymns together all over the town. They're going to pray together. They're going to listen to a message, and they're going to do that on their front porches. I've also heard where they're doing a low frequency band radio broadcast where people gather in parking lots. Mm-hmm. And they do the same thing. Hmm. So there's some creative things, but at the same time, you know,
well,
sin abounds.
We hope that there'll be something of a spiritual revival across the country. And friends, God has humbled this nation before. God humbled the nation the 1860s with the Civil War. That came after a very dark, dark period where America had abandoned God. And America turned towards a man-centered religion in the 1840s and 1850s. And man had increasingly turned towards socialism, Marxism. Of course, the radical Republicans were dragging Marxism into America. And, of course, you also had the seances in the White House with Franklin Pierce and Abraham Lincoln and others. It was a very dark and demonic time across this country in the 1840s, 1850s, on into 1860. And then the Civil War. And by 1863, God had humbled the nation big time with the loss of hundreds of thousands of lives. And of course, you had the horrible feminist movement with all of its seances and all of its witchcraft and prostitutes that were leading that movement in the 1800s. But the Civil War was a time in which God humbled the nation. And then coming out of the roaring 20s, Warren Harding, the apostasy of Woodrow Wilson, you had Margaret Sanger, the liberalization of the PCUSA. You had Princeton University walking off the deep end and evolution increasingly dominating all the universities in the 1920s. And thus, we came to the Great Depression and World War II, which brought an end to the Great Depression. And friends, yes, America has been humbled before, but now we're dealing with a massive fallout of the sexual revolution. The evil of killing 80 million American babies since 1973, the legitimization and the promotion of Sodom and Gomorrah by the Supreme Court of the United States, we're way beyond where we were in 1860. We're way beyond where we were in 1929. Friends, we had a mini humbling with 9/11 and now this. So America is being humbled right now, even as we speak. America has been sent home. And it's looking like we're going to be experiencing something like 30 to 40% unemployment, the highest unemployment rates since the Great Depression, possibly higher than the Great Depression itself. America is being humbled right now. We'll be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. Friends, listen. There is nothing families need more than godly husbands and fathers, spiritual men, praying men, men who are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Oh, that God would raise up stronger men, gentle, faithful shepherds, covenant keepers, men who won't quit, men who stay in the battle,
men who persevere when the going gets tough, sacrificial lovers, robust men, not snowflakes. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So the apostle tells us, quit ye like men, be strong. That's why the Shepherd's Conference each year in my home here in Elizabeth, Colorado. Let me tell you, it's the best fellowship, the best worship, the best encouragement, the best exhortation, 5 days of immersive study in the Word of God, prayer and fellowship at my place out here on the eastern plains of Colorado, September 28th through October 2nd this year. Here's the caveat. There are only 45 spots open. Reserve now at generations.org/shepherds. That's generations.org/shepherds.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson here. As America makes more history with the humbling of the nation in 2020 after the largest pride marches in the history of this country, perhaps in the history of the entire world, in 2019, America and the entire world now being humbled under the hand of Almighty God. And friends, it's time for us to acknowledge God. It's time for us to acknowledge this humbling, not being acknowledged all that much by our leaders, our governors, our presidents. Interesting, the president of Brazil just called for a day of prayer and fasting, a day of humiliation, something we haven't seen since 1863. I would encourage a day of humiliation before Almighty God, as the president of Brazil just called, I think it was yesterday. So, but friends, it seems that we're dealing with another sequence in the humbling of a nation. Perhaps America may turn back to God, as it has in its history. So I've recorded the incredible saga of American history, this experiment in the fear of God and the Christian influence on an entire nation in my book, America and God's Providence. Would recommend that to you. It's America and God's Providence, and we are going through the next segment of this, these providential dealings of God upon the nation. Well, Ralph Drullinger is a brother who works with Capital Ministries, and we've mentioned him before on this program. And to his credit, he is acknowledging something of the humbling of the entire world. And he refers to the wrath of God in one of his recent Bible studies. And why this guy is so important is he has apparently had a Bible study in the White House in which he has included the Secretary of State, the Secretary of Education, other important figures in the Trump administration. So it's very interesting right now that Ralph Drullinger is one element in this nation that seems to be coming forward with some reference to the wrath of God. He did two things which apparently irritated some of the left. He referred to homosexuality as a sin, and he also said that the world was under a form of God's wrath. Now, what's important here, sort of, is that he did not say that the coronavirus pandemic is a result of the sin of homosexuality, and he was accused of that by certain aspects of the homosexual and left news sources. And Judd Deere, a White House spokesperson, came forward and said Drullinger's comments were disgusting. Judd did not refer to homosexuality or other sins being disgusting, by the way. I mean, it's just a side note. But he did say that Drullinger's comments were, quote unquote, disgusting. Well, that's what happened. And I'd like to interact just a little bit on this. I went to Capital Ministries website, and you can take a look at some of the news releases. And the Bible study itself, you can look at the Bible study itself, and he referred to, this is where Drullinger referred to five different forms of God's wrath: the forsaking wrath of God, the cataclysmic wrath of God, the sowing and reaping wrath of God. And here's a quote: relative to the coronavirus pandemic crisis, this is not God's abandonment wrath, nor is cataclysmic wrath. Rather, it is sowing and reaping wrath. A biblically astute evaluation of the situation strongly suggests that America and other countries of the world are reaping what China has sown due to their leaders' recklessness and lack of candor, etc. So I guess his distinctions might be marginally acceptable with some of the Republican leadership, Bill, but I'm not sure that too many people want to use the word wrath and God in the same sentence these days.
No, they don't.
You know,
they would prefer to divorce those two from each other.
So I don't think his qualifications are going to be that comforting to the media. I don't think he's going to come around. And, you know, God's mad at China for being reckless and lacking candor. I,
No, God's mad at sin.
Yeah, God's okay. mad at sin. Put it that way. That's a better way to put it. Yeah. Then that's precisely what Romans 1 says. So I don't know if somebody's kowtowing to Republican nationalism here. I guess China needs to be humbled, but what about America? You know, and making distinctions between five forms of God's wrath seems a bit artificial and arbitrary to me. Let me say this. I'm at least thankful that Ralph is bringing up the subject. So, you know, let's be thankful for something here.
Right.
Let's be thankful that Ralph Grolinger appears to have something of the fear of God. And you know, that's refreshing, Bill, just to say that, yeah. that there's somebody. I just, you know, you haven't heard enough of this from some of the evangelical leaders. I mean, I don't hear enough of this. Wouldn't it be good to hear something more of this? There are pastors who are bringing this out.
I think Franklin Graham has brought it out somewhat.
Has he?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I'm not sure I've seen it yet, but I think he could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not that they're directly tying the coronavirus with the wrath of God.
No, no.
But people are talking about how we are ripe for God's wrath. And this might be, you know, a precursor to it. Might be that it is something that we have brought upon ourselves because we have turned away from God.
And I think it would be important to include in the American vocabulary words like humility. And we brought this up before. You know, we've analyzed some of our leaders in their state of the state or state of the union addresses. You know, Bill, we brought this out before. Just one reference to humility, one reference to the fear of God or repentance or even the wrath of God amongst our daily gubernatorial or presidential briefings might be helpful. But I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing it in ChristianPost.com. I'm not seeing it. It doesn't appear on any of the headlines. And it's so much different than the way it was in 1865. So much different than it was in, you know, the 1880s, the 1920s, as America came face to face with the omnipotence of God, the judgment of God, the sovereignty of God. It just seems that these things don't exist. You remember the comment that John Adams made, and John Adams, not exactly the most Christian of our founders,
no.
but John Adams made that comment to Benjamin Rush during the Continental Congress. Remember, Benjamin Rush said, could we possibly win this conflict with the greatest power on earth? And John Adams said, if we fear God and repent of our sins, the F word, the right F word, fear of God, and the R word, repent, both were used by John Adams, and it was still something in the American vocabulary. And Bill, I think these things need to be in our vocabulary, otherwise we have the wrong religion.
Right. It is a world of difference to see and read the language that Lincoln used in calling the nation to prayer, and the language that was recently used to mm-hmm. call the nation to prayer.
Yeah,
and you're right. It is a matter of calling the nation to repentance.
I think that's the issue. And let's draw some theological points. I think are quite certain here. And let's back up for a moment. I don't particularly like to just say, hey, you know, this judgment for this sins, you know, and be hyper specific. And we try to be careful as we discuss these things. But Bill, I think theologically, it should be pretty obvious to Christians that disease and death is a consequence of sin, that it is a judgment of God upon sin. It was death that was promised to mankind upon the eating of the forbidden fruit, that Adam was forbidden to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil upon the pain of death. Okay, so it was a threat, and Adam ate of it, and then God pronounced that curse or that condemnation upon all mankind upon Adam eating of that fruit. So disease and death is a consequence of sin. So I think as Christians, wouldn't it be better if Ralph Drollinger and myself and every other pastor in America say, you know, we don't have to specify whether it's homosexual sin or heterosexual sin or lying or whatever. Disease and death is because of our disobedience to God's commands.
Right.
Can't we just say that? You know, that would be obvious. That's Christian orthodoxy at its most basic level.
Yeah. Yeah, and we just need to acknowledge that, and we need to encourage people to fall on their knees and seek God, mm-hmm. seek His face, and then obey His word.
And when you know, get a pandemic or something like this that comes in, and then you get a slightly higher death rate in a nation, and Bill, I don't think it's going to be much more than probably a blip on the scale if you include all the other, you know, cancer, heart disease, accidents, etc. You add all that up, it's probably going to maybe, I don't know, increase the death rate in America by 1% or 5%, or even if it was 20% or 30%. It's still a reminder. It's just a very, very sharp reminder that we are under the wrath of God,
and that,
we are all under the wrath of
God. And
that
we're not in control.
That's right.
We're not in control. Science is not going to save us. It is not government that's going to save us. They cannot solve the problem. They cannot create a utopia. A secular worldview does not offer any hope for this kind mm-hmm. of pandemic or disaster or catastrophe.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, people panic in the face of it if they have bought into a secular worldview.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about what happened during World War II. Well, don't think about what happened during World War II in Europe. Think about what happened immediately after World War II with the development of the atomic bomb. And people lived not in fear necessarily. What did they do? They continued their lives. They continued with families. They continued with faith. And they didn't succumb to a paralyzing panic.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we consider disease, and we see it on the front page of every newspaper, FoxNews.com and all the rest, friends, it should be obvious that these are not random, unlucky things happening in a chance universe that somehow governments have to step in and fix. That's not it. Friends, no. What's the worldview? What is the biblical view on these things? This is another disease. And this is another consequence of man's sin against God. And God has cursed all mankind with disease and death. And by the way, there are something like 117,000 diseases. So you'd be all upset about one, but I can give you another 116,999 to be afraid of if you'd like. But all is there because of God's condemnation upon all mankind because of our rebellion against God. So, Christians, we need to get back to the basics here. Disease and death is a consequence of sin. The COVID-19 virus is a consequence of sin, Adam's sin, our sin. We don't have to specify what sort of sin it is, but disease and death comes about because of disobedience to God's command. And according to Romans 1, let's go back to Romans 1, Bill. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. All ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. The wrath of God is revealed against all, not just China's recklessness. So, you know, I just don't think drawing distinctions like that was helpful. You know, I don't read that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against China's recklessness. In fact, China isn't even mentioned here. By the way, the sin of homosexuality is included here. It's pretty prominent in the list in Romans chapter 1, so it shouldn't be ignored. And that's why it was mentioned in the article that Ralph Drollinger produced. But the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. So, friends, this complete rejection of the fear of God and the wrath of God is the greatest error that I think we're confronting right now. The beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge is the fear of God. But the lack of gravitas and lack of sobriety, lack of sincerity and seriousness is what is taking this nation to hell right now. And the reason why publicans aren't falling on their faces and crying out, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, is because the fear of God is not there. The most basic wisdom, the most basic knowledge is not there. That humility, that fear of God. There can't be a salvation where there's no fear of God and there's no real conviction of sin, that God has brought this condemnation to us because of the lack of obedience to Him, because of His justice, because He has demonstrated His wrath against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. You know, John 3:36, this comes right after John 3:16, the most famous verse in the Bible. John 3:36 says, "He that believes on the Son has everlasting life, but he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." And Bill, I think what that means is that if you're not believing in Jesus, anybody who's not believing in Jesus, the wrath of God is abiding on that person.
And we need to, again, realize that, yes, that all of this is a result of living in a fallen world. And we do need to return to the key of wisdom. Jesus said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he said, "You've taken away the key of wisdom." What is the key of wisdom? It is fear of God. If you want to be wise, fear God. If you want to not fear what is around you, fear God. Because once you do fear the true Creator, he removes fear of everything else. He takes away fear of everything else. And we are to be, if you want to be fearless before people, if you want to not cower in the face of the current events, then fear God. And he gives you peace that passes all human understanding.
It's amazing how much, you know, the fear of God, and ultimately, Bill, I think it's the fear of God as you stand before the cross of Jesus Christ and realize what he did for us.
Right.
I mean, boy, doesn't that give you a sense of awe and wonder and fear and reverence, all of that? And that, of course, friends, is where we get, that's where we get the stability, the security. That's where we are rooted and grounded in hope in God. Well, I want to end with this. There's some question with this Ralph Drollinger article, and there's been some question with others as to whether God still brings temporal judgments here and now. And I think the scriptures bear this out. I do. Listen to Romans chapter 11. Now, this speaks of God's temporal judgment upon the Gentiles. That God could potentially, it doesn't say when or how, it just simply says that be careful, that pride, and this is the big sin that God warns us of as Gentiles. By the way, if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile, so that applies to almost every one of us. So this verse applies to Gentile nations and Gentile peoples. And it's pride that was the big issue. In Romans 11, pride becomes the big issue that we need to be concerned about. Listen to Romans 11, 20. Because of unbelief, they were broken off. The Jews were broken off. And you stand by faith. But here it is. Do not be haughty. So there it is. Do not be haughty. That would be the issue there. Do not be haughty, but fear. Okay, so back to the fear of God. Really, it's the same thing we're talking about. Do not be haughty, you Gentiles, is what he's saying here, but fear, for if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. So there you have, I think, a very clear indication that God judges. You know, God does bring judgment. And you can't say, well, he just brought judgments against the Jews, all that Old Testament, you know, 80, 70, whatever. Don't say that. Don't act like he doesn't care about us. He does. He's watching us. And it seems that we may be suffering the effects of pride. And maybe it's proud denominationalism, proud empire building, proud colonialism, proud humanist enlightenments, proud secularism, proud scientism, proud universities, proud seminary. I don't know. I don't know where all the pride is, Bill, but I'm guessing pride is probably at the root of some of this stuff. God is saying, be humbled and respond. And Bill, so much of this is a shot across the bow. What is amazes me about God is that our God is merciful and long-suffering.
He's patient.
He's patient with us. Yeah. He's patient with us. And you know what he's telling us right now? Be humble.
Look in the mirror.
Yeah.
If you want to know where the pride is, just look in the mirror.
Yeah.
We all succumb to that, and that's why we need a Savior.
That's a message for all of us, friends. And let me close with this. If anybody's tempted to think, you know, God just winks at whatever goes on, and he's not going to judge. I mean, we're some of the nicest people in the world. Why would God want to judge us? No, God is still a God of justice. He's still a God who is connected with what's happening, and he warns us concerning these things. Listen to the book of Revelation 19. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on him was faithful and true. In righteousness he judges, makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed the robe dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in white linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. Again, friends, this would be the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the Word of God by which he strikes the nations. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it, that is his word, the sword of the Spirit, he strikes the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So friends, if you're ever tempted to think, well, God is a deistic God, he's not really paying attention to the nations, he's not going to rule the nations, he's not going to judge the nations, he's not going to strike the nations, he's not going to do anything to us Gentiles. Be humble. Recognize God is still God. Jesus still treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Be in fear. Be in awe. Be in reverence of the true and living God. And then stand at the cross and realize that Jesus Christ, the same one who judges the nations, was also the one who gave his life and bore the wrath of God on that cross for us, in our place. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations broadcast. And friends, as you know, we present a Christ-centered, biblically-based, biblical worldview-saturated history curriculum, science curriculum, and literature curriculum, all available at our website, generations.org or kevinswanson.com. I'd encourage you to America in God's Providence as a great beginning to understand what is happening in America right now. My mom just got back to me, Bill. She just read the book, and she says it was riveting, could hardly put it down, except for the fact that it weighed about 80 pounds. That's the main reason she couldn't put it down. No, she said she had to put it on a table.
She couldn't pick it up.
Yeah, exactly. She had to read it on a table, but she read straight through it, and friends, she enjoyed it very, very much. So hopefully that will be something of a recommendation to you. Friends, it is a Christian view of how God's hand was upon the nation for 500 years, for good and for the purposes of chastising and judging the nation. We received mercies, we received judgments, but it was all by the providence of God. So check out America in God's Providence at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.